from KQED.
Well, what could be the largest prison hunger strike in California history enters its fourth day today. The action is being led by inmates at Pelican Bay Prison in Crescent City who are protesting conditions in special security units. One issue in particular is driving the action: controversial criteria used by corrections officials to hold men in isolation, sometimes for decades. As part of our series produced with the Center for Investigative Reporting, Michael Montgomery has more.
This court is now in session.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
On today's calendar...
In a San Diego courtroom recently, Judge David Danielson faced a tough decision. Should he grant freedom to a state prison inmate under a voter-approved ballot initiative, even though the offender had been held in isolation for 15 years as a player in a violent prison gang?
I want to make it clear that the court has read and considered all of the paperwork that has been filed in connection with this matter.
Sitting before Judge Danielson in a green jumpsuit was 44-year-old Tino Aguilar. The repeat felon was serving a 25-to-life sentence under California's three strikes law. But due to a change in the law last fall, Aguilar was eligible for release because his third strike was a minor crime, possession of stolen property. That is, unless a judge decides he's a threat to public safety.
I think it would be fair to say that the series of hearings has clearly defined the focus of our inquiry.
Aguilar's many years at Pelican Bay State Prison, where inmates are often called the worst of the worst, was a key issue in the case, says Deputy District Attorney Greg Walden.
That's the first thing you think. It's the worst of the worst. It's like the supermax. It's where they put the Hannibal Lecters.
Aguilar was transferred to Pelican Bay when state prison officials found items in his cell which they claimed linked him to the Mexican Mafia, a notorious prison gang.
When you're using these labels, in Southern California, we take it very seriously.
That's Joey Super, Aguilar's public defender.
We do have a lot of cases involving the Mexican Mafia, and so being a judge in this community and being lawyers in this community, we do know, you know, what's really going on.
Judge Danielson was reluctant to release Aguilar, but when the lawyers dug up his prison file, they were surprised to discover that one of the items held up as proof of gang involvement was a drawing of a Mexican flag, supposedly with hidden symbols. Even the prosecutor, Greg Walden, agreed it wasn't much.
We look at the evidence. We don't make decisions based on, you know, flights of fancy. The fact is, for the last 18 years or however long he'd been up there, he hadn't done anything.
Walden surmises that while Aguilar hadn't done anything tangible for the gang, prison officials believed he might provide useful intelligence. So they placed him in Pelican Bay's Stark Security Unit, hoping he might give up information.
He was being housed there not because he was the worst of the worst, only because they felt that he had information that might be important to them in order to run the prison and keep the prison safe.
Aguilar's case is not unique. Hundreds of other inmates have been held in the security units based on similar evidence, drawings, letters, and tattoos, as well as secret reports from confidential informants. That's according to figures compiled for a 2007 Department of Corrections internal review.
Once they get you there, it's hard to get out of there.
That's former inmate Lonnie Rose. He was convicted of drug possession under the state's original three strikes law and then held at Pelican Bay for nearly 10 years for gang ties. A San Joaquin County judge found Rose also wasn't a threat to public safety and in April ordered his release.
I was lucky enough to where the judge and the district attorney took it for what it was. They looked at it, what has he done? Not what do people say. What has he done himself, personally?
Rose pages through documents spread out on a coffee table in his Stockton apartment. They're copies of items used by prison staff to connect him to the Aryan Brotherhood. There's a greeting card from his son, a drawing, and a book.
This is the book, Matching Wits with Menza. This was an extra added attraction, I'll say.
The book is full of complicated word puzzles and was inscribed with the name of an alleged prison gang member. Pelican Bay staff claimed the book showed Rose was actively associating with the Aryan Brotherhood. Cases like these are fueling the large-scale hunger strike that began this week at Pelican Bay and includes as many as 30,000 inmates throughout the state. Kelly Harrington, an associate director in the Department of Corrections, says officials are sharpening the criteria used to place men in the security units, but he defends the use of books, drawings, and greeting cards as indicators of gang ties.
Those are very
significant items to inmates when they want to be part of a gang. And it's incumbent upon us to actually have to get the intelligence to figure out which of those items are significant in the gang lifestyle.
Still, some judges aren't convinced. Back in San Diego, Superior Court Judge David Danielson reviewed hundreds of documents from Tino Aguilar's file.
And the facts and the evidence in this case demonstrates to this court that this petitioner at this time does not pose an unreasonable risk of danger to public safety.
The judge approved his release. Earlier this week, Aguilar joined a protest in Los Angeles to support the inmate hunger strike.
It was my opportunity to give back and to be a voice for the individuals who do not have a voice at this time that are locked up in those cells up there in Pelican Bay.
Aguilar says that if it were up to the Department of Corrections, he'd still be in isolation at Pelican Bay. Coming up tomorrow, we'll look at the changes the Department of Corrections is making in the special security units and how some inmates are getting back on the mainline. For the California Report, I'm Michael Montgomery.
Our prison stories were produced in collaboration with the Center for Investigative Reporting. To hear more of Michael's reporting and see photos of the inmates, head online to californiareport.org.